Well, hello and welcome to our Science Talks program with Isagenix. My name is Kirsty, your host. It's great to have you listening in today. You know what? Today's topic is going to be a good one. The topic is a specific substance that a tremendous amount of people worldwide consume every single day. And that's caffeine. So we're going to do a little bit of myth busting and educating when it comes to caffeine and whether or not it's good or bad for you. And we have the amazing David Despain with us today to share all of the ins and outs on this. If you are brand new to Isagenix, David Despain is such an incredible guy working within our R&D department. He has his master's in human nutrition. And he has been with Isagenix. What year did you join Isagenix and come on board as a part of the team? Was it 2005? Yeah. So 12 years. I mean, that's a long time. And you've watched the company grow from where it was then to today, which we're like $1 billion company annually. So it's kind of exciting. But David, he's the managing editor, science editor for our blog, contributes to the magazines, newsletters, and other media outlets online. But our blog, if you've not been there, it's so beautiful. Isagenixhealth.net it's just drenched with all kinds of information and science and research when it comes to our products and the body and what the latest and greatest is. He has the title of Director of Science Communications within our research and science department, and we're just grateful for all that he does for us. So David, welcome.
Oh, good to be here.
Yes.
Good to be on the call.
Great to be with you. And just have to say, you know, how is the year going? Are exciting things happening in research and development?
Oh, Kirsty, we've got quite a lot of exciting things that we're working on that I can't even tell you about, but it's going to be an awesome year for sure.
All right. Well, have you been smelling or tasting anything? I mean, can you at least tell us that?
Well, I just got out of a meeting where I tasted something.
Oh.
And it was pretty amazing. And it's the reason why I was a little bit late to this call, because I was busily tasting things and having a fun time doing that. And
yeah.
Seeing, it's always really good to see the fruits of your labor. So we've been working on some projects that and testing out certain ingredients with different flavors it's pretty exciting.
I know, it's got to be. My dad has so much fun too creating, and it's just such a passion. It's fun to be able to see what you guys are doing, and I'm excited to see what's going to come in the future too. Because it seems like, you know, if you take a look at the product line that we have today, you think it can't get much better than that, right? I mean, but I know that there's this increase of technology and advancements of technology and new studies and research that kind of shows you exactly what we need as human beings to live optimally. So to be able to see the evolution happen and is really, really an exciting process.
Well, I will tell you this, what I tasted today did have to do with what we're talking about today, which is caffeine had a little bit of that in there. So I'm excited to talk about I'm excited to talk about my favorite molecule.
Favorite molecule. Well, let's talk about this. So, okay. So caffeine has been used probably since the time of Adam and Eve. And there's people that are like, oh, it's good for you. No, it's not good for you. So what is caffeine, first of all?
Well, what we know is it's a natural bitter chemical. It's produced by plants. It's a methyl xanthan. Actually, plants produce it as a pesticide. It interferes with the nervous system of insects, animals. That's why it's a pesticide. Keeps these pests from eating the plants. And well, humans, with our ingenious livers, we can readily absorb and metabolize it really easily. And what we know is that it appears in the bloodstream after we've consumed it within 15 to 45 minutes, along with other metabolites like theobromine and theophylline that tend to either be in plants For example, coffee will have caffeine along with other types of methylxanthines, and then we metabolize it. When we metabolize it, we actually create metabolites like theobromine from caffeine. How quickly it absorbs can depend on whether it's free-flowing synthetic caffeine. So there is synthetic caffeine out there, and it's used in a lot of products like sodas and even energy shots. We don't ever use any synthetic caffeine. That's against our policy. We only use it as natural caffeine coming from green tea or coffee or yerba mate. When it's complexed in as part of an extract from a plant, the absorption of the caffeine slows down considerably, and you also get some other synergistic effects from different molecules that's in those plants. So green tea obviously comes with its polyphenols, and so does yerba mate, and coffee has its own set of natural chemicals that are absorbed along with the caffeine. And then we know that after you've absorbed it, then caffeine is urinated out within about 3 to 6 hours. We know exactly how it works in the body. Once it's absorbed, it works by blocking the effects of adenosine, which is the inhibitory neurotransmitter that basically rises as you're awake, and then attaches itself to adenosine receptors in your brain, making you feel tired and sleepy. What caffeine does is it just antagonizes those effects. It keeps adenosine from attaching to brain receptors, and that's what leads you to feel more alert. It just keeps adenosine from doing its job in making you feel tired and sleepy, and so therefore you're alert. And that's basically caffeine in a nutshell for you, Kiersey.
I love the scientific information here. This is like crazy information. I love it. But I mean, layperson's terms, caffeine can be synthetic, but it also obviously occurs naturally in plants, which that's the version that we use in a few of our products. I know you're going to talk about in just a little bit, but caffeine is incredible, like just to be able to keep you, alert and awake. But I know that there's other health benefits. But I really want to get down to it because, I mean, based on these benefits, that's why we're talking about caffeine today, right?
Yeah, I think we want to talk about caffeine also because it has a lot of health benefits if you use it responsibly. Mm-hmm. It can actually be kind of harmful if you use it irresponsibly or if you abuse it. Now, lucky for us, we know quite a lot about caffeine, specifically because it's been subject of extensive scientific research, mainly because of its use in sports. So there's been a lot of studies on caffeine related to use in athletes. Obviously, you have immediate energizing effects from caffeine, and it's used widespread across every type of athlete, endurance athletes, bodybuilders, strength athletes, all kinds of athletes use it. They don't always use it the right way. And there's also a lot of controversy just even within the scientific literature about how much you should use or how or when to use it, and also the different ways that it works. You know, beyond just keeping you alert, there's a lot of controversy about specifically how to best use it for performance. So I think that's why I wanted to talk about it today, because there are specific things that we do know and what we don't. And so it's useful to explain. You know, we get a lot of questions about how to use our products with caffeine, and so it's useful to try to explain to people where we are in terms of the literature.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's kind of delve into a little bit of that science and research on what we know for sure when it comes to caffeine.
Well, as far as the science is concerned, here's what we know. We know that caffeine in the scientific literature is generally given to athletes according to their body weight. So that can be from 5 milligrams per kilogram to to up to 9 milligrams per kilogram. So if you think, I think of myself as a 140-pound man, that's about 63 kilograms. That's about 300 to 500 milligrams of caffeine. If you think about from a 5 to 9 milligram standpoint, 5 to 9 milligrams per kilogram. So 300 to 500 milligrams of caffeine is about 3 to 5 cups of coffee. If you think about a cup of coffee as having between 80 to 100 milligrams, then that's 3 to 5 cups of coffee. So that's a lot of where the literature is at. And what we know is that at those levels, caffeine has a variety of effects. First of all, it keeps you alert, of course. It puts you in a more alert state because of its action on adenosine receptors. But it also, in the literature, you see that it can actually increase the use of free fatty acids, or mobilizes free fatty acids, and thereby it helps you to rely less on glycogen. So as a reminder of what glycogen is the storage form of carbohydrates in muscle. And if you can use more free fatty acids, and especially if you're an endurance athlete, if you can use more free fatty acids instead of glycogen, then you're less likely to have your muscles get tired. You have more time to fatigue. You have an increased time to fatigue. So that's a really powerful thing, is to rely less on glycogen. Another thing that it does, and probably one of the most important effects, is that you have an increased amount of beta endorphins. These are the endorphins that have kind of an analgesic effect. So it actually can caffeine, in essence, can help reduce the perception of pain. So you feel less pain as you're exercising. So the studies on caffeine is essentially show that you have less perception of pain, and thereby you're also enjoying exercise more. So you are more likely to exercise longer or have better performance because you don't have that pain. You don't have as much pain as you would without caffeine. Then one other effect that it has is relates to neuromuscular function. So you have your brain controls your muscles, right? So when you start to lose that control, you can't perform as well. So in studies, what some studies have shown is that caffeine in amounts of 6 milligrams per kilogram helps to improve neuromuscular function, thereby improving things like leg strength and increasing time to fatigue, increasing muscular endurance, just basically helping you to keep control of those muscles. So those are all the effects that we know that it has, that caffeine has, that don't relate to specifically the adenosine antagonizing part. Also, caffeine has a thermogenic effect. So that's a really interesting thing. You know, thermogenesis has to do with burning more calories or burning more fat. And at about 100 to 200 milligrams, caffeine has a definite thermogenic effect, and it doesn't appear to decrease with habitual use either. So you can drink coffee every day, and you'll be burning. You'll have a higher thermogenesis in your body and burning more calories, in essence. And you don't habituate yourself to it. So overall, that's a different benefit, whether you're exercising or not. Now, in the brain, caffeine has a variety of effects too. So we know that, you know, between about 100 and 300 milligrams, studies have shown that you have increased alertness, reaction time, you have improvement of learning, memory. There doesn't appear to be much of a difference in whether or not you have greater alertness or reaction time between 200 milligrams versus 300 versus 400 milligrams. So there's not like a dose-response relationship in terms of, there's no real advantages with taking more caffeine for brain alertness. You can do 100 to 200 milligrams, and that moderate dose is going to be just fine. We also know that those effects on alertness. Here's an really interesting thing, Kiersey, and we talked a little bit about this just before the podcast. Caffeine, if you drink it in the morning, you know, we know that you're going to see an increase in the bloodstream within 15 to 45 minutes. Then 3 hours later, it's all gone. 3 to 6 hours later, but the effects of that caffeine could last all throughout the day. It could extend out to 8 hours or more after consumption, and it will have still improved alertness, motor learning, short-term memory, even well after it's been metabolized and eliminated. So that's a really interesting effect from caffeine. And we know that if you space it out, if you divide doses, so let's say 400 milligrams, that's the general limit that's recommended daily, is about 400 to 500 milligrams, depending on your weight. If you divide the doses out, so say like 300 milligrams in the morning and 100 milligrams later, you'll have improved effects. Or you could divide it in terms of 250 milligrams early in the day and then 250 milligrams later. You could even do this with exercise. So there's been a lot of studies where they have divided doses, for example, in endurance athletes, where you'll have a dose of about 300 to 400 milligrams at the beginning of a race or a training session, and then later on consume about 100 to 200 milligrams later on in that training session, and you'll see an increase in effects. So, you know, if you're a caffeine-sensitive person, you want to do what feels most comfortable, or you could just adjust it according to your weight. So generally it would just be 6 milligrams per kilogram. So for me, for example, at 140 pounds, that's about 378 milligrams. And if I divide it, that would be about 189 milligrams twice a day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love all of this science and all of these tidbits that you're giving us today. Because not only is it has the fat burning thermogenic effect, but there's just so many other benefits, such as just making you, I guess, have more energy. So this is exciting. And I also, too, I love what you said about it doesn't matter whether you're taking 200, 300, or 4 milligrams. More is not necessarily better or is going to give you a better advantage to that alertness or all of these benefits. It's really about what feels comfortable, like what you were just talking about, and just trying it out, seeing your dosing and seeing how your body feels and how you react to it, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you, in terms of our products, you could have Isagenix coffee mm-hmm. in the morning, and in each cup of Isagenix coffee, you're going to get about 80 to 100 milligrams. You could have 3 cups of coffee and you're just getting at 300 milligrams. Mm-hmm. So it's not a terribly high amount. And then our E-Plus, each one of our E-Plus shots has about 80 milligrams. Having the E-Plus a little bit later in the day, you know, as a pick-me-up, kind of fits right along with those recommendations that I was just explaining. You could have a little bit more caffeine earlier and then have that a little bit improved alertness from the E-Plus with 80 milligrams a day or 80 milligrams in a shot a little bit later. In fact, you could even have you can have two of them and that would just be fine. Mm-hmm. We do have warnings on the E-Plus about not going overboard. So we don't want people taking several shots a day because we don't want them to accidentally go over. And I think one of the biggest reasons why we have those warnings on there is because we know that it can interfere with sleep. Caffeine does interfere with sleep if you have it a little bit later in the day. There is some evidence that if you mix caffeine with alcohol, and this happens a lot with energy shots. People will mix it, or people will take it at night to keep them up. Some of the young kids do this at clubs. And we know that caffeine does can lead you to feel like you want to drink more. That's not to say that caffeine has a diuretic effect. There's been several studies that have put that myth to rest. There's no diuretic effect. It's not going to dehydrate you or any of that. It's not going to interfere with any detoxification mechanisms either. In fact, caffeine may even, because it's metabolized by the through the liver, it may actually rev up those effects a little bit. So we know that E plus is not going to interfere with any of that. But what it can do is that if you combine it with alcohol, then it may make you more likely to drink more. So that's a big worry, and that's one of the reasons why we never advise mixing caffeine with alcohol.
Interesting. Okay. So for anybody that likes to go out and have a little energy drink with their liquor of choice, well noted, right? Okay. Well, let's talk about caffeine and carbohydrates when it comes to athletic performance, because there's a little bit of research on this, right?
Yes. One of the things that when in the development of E+, for example, we looked at some of the literature on caffeine with carbohydrate. Now, if you go out and you look at some of the other types of energy shots, just use synthetic caffeine. They use synthetic caffeine and they use artificial sweeteners. There's no sugar in them. And I would argue that that's not actually the best format of use. Caffeine with a little bit of carbohydrate actually has even a greater effect on improving performance. We know that caffeine combined with a little bit of carbohydrates, caffeine when it's paired with a little bit of sugar, for example, can increase performance by 10% even. You can improve performance with sugar alone by about 5%. But with caffeine, you get even a greater effect of just improving performance, and you improve the overall, again, with the caffeine included with a little bit of sugar, you're getting in a more, intensified, effect decreasing your reliance on glycogen, or the stored carbs that are in muscles. So for athletes, that's a really important thing. You want it. It makes a lot of sense to have a little bit of carbohydrate along with caffeine. And one more thing that's pretty interesting is that there's been reported effects in studies of people actually of athletes even improving their recovery with a combination of caffeine and carbohydrates. The effect the mechanism of of improved recovery has to do with glycogen resynthesis. So after use of caffeine and carbohydrates, you have a greater rate of resynthesis of glycogen, meaning that you're making up for those carbohydrates that are stored in muscles. You're making up for what you lost more quickly, and by making up for it more quickly, that once you resynthesize glycogen more quickly, that can lead to faster recovery and more likelihood that you can, if you're a runner, that you can run sooner the next day, or if you're another kind of athlete, that you can get back to training in your sport. So mm-hmm. it's an important thing. I think a lot of different athletes are using it in various ways, but mm-hmm. I felt like that was an important part of it. And I think an improved way of taking caffeine, don't go for the artificial sweeteners. The little bit of juice that's in our E plus isn't going to be enough to, give you enough calories that you'd have to worry about in regards to weight, but it might improve your performance, it might improve the enjoyment of your exercise routine, might keep you there a little longer so you're actually training longer, and it might help you recover faster by using the E-Plus versus these other types of energy drinks without any sugar.
Hey, I just realized I was looking at this while you were talking, just with the benefits of pairing carbs and caffeine together. And in the E Plus, there's 8 grams of sugar, 35 calories, 85 milligrams of caffeine, roughly. And just to be able to shoot that before a workout, and then maybe even obviously mixing that, shooting that, and then taking your power. And I mean, oh my gosh. And then, of course, let's not forget Knox, right?
Right.
I'm telling you, I think between the E Plus, the Power, and the Knox, you are going to have some seriously fabulous workouts. Would you not agree, David?
Well, I think that for those people who get concerned about use of caffeine mm-hmm. for exercise, and then also are concerned about use of sugar for exercise, use of a little carbohydrates, mm-hmm. they're doing themselves a disservice. You know, that combination has been intensely studied. There's a lot of research on it, and it's great. Now, we go one step further. We add natural botanicals called adaptogens to the E+. Those work in a completely different way than caffeine. But for the better. So, like I said, caffeine works by essentially changing the way that your brain handles adenosine. The adaptogens work in a totally different way in terms of reducing the effects that stress has on the body. So whenever you're doing exercise, or if you're even mentally stressed out, you have specific changes physiologically that happen in the body, and the research that has been done on adaptogens, the mechanisms are quite different, in the sense that basically what adaptogens do is they help you to respond better to that stress, so that you're less likely to feel that fatigue as soon, or feel tired from the stress that you're under. So in athletic studies, adaptogens have basically been able to show improvement in increasing time to fatigue, improvement in strength, etc. And if you pair that up, you know, and I think Isagenix is probably one of the only places you can get this kind of combination. If you pair that up with a little bit of natural sugars from the juices in E+, and some of the natural sugars that are in our other products, and then the caffeine and the adaptogens, you're going to get an improved effect in terms of exercise and your ability to perform during that exercise. So I think it's a great idea to use E+. It's really in combination with our other AMPT products, and in combination with our coffee. I think you've got a lot of tools that we make available to you.
Sweet. I love it. And so as far as caffeinated products, we have the E+, which is amazing. People love it. And then, of course, we have the Isagenix coffee. And that's one thing we haven't really talked about. You just shared with, not only are you getting the natural caffeine in the E+, but also the adaptogenic herbs. And that proprietary blend, I was just looking over that. It's such a beautiful blend. There's so many wonderful health benefits to all of those amazing botanicals and ingredients. Then when it comes to our coffee, because you know what? There's a lot of bad coffee on the market today. Things that maybe, you know, I mean, as far as the type of coffee, how it's grown, how it's handled. So our coffee is just, we take extra measures to make sure that our Isagenix product consumers are getting the best coffee, you know, that they can get. And besides, it's completely unique, right, David? Because it has a couple of other feature add-ins, right?
Well, what we do with our coffee is we know for a fact that coffee itself isn't really bad for anybody. But a lot of the stuff that people put into coffee tends to be bad. In fact, there's a lot of trans fats based creamers, and people pour in lots of sugar. And a lot of that happens because they just don't like the taste of actual coffee. So what we try to do is we try to identify an artisanal brand of coffee using premium coffee beans, and that are not so heavily produced. I guess what I'm trying to say is small batch production, mm-hmm. of really high quality premium coffee. And we just think that the blend that we had chosen tastes awesome. It just tastes really good. Now, we didn't want to interfere with the flavor of that blend specifically, and we know that people don't want the flavor of coffee messed with. And that's so what we did is we added some other ingredients that specifically wouldn't harm the flavor and would only help smooth it out. So we added some minerals that help to change the pH a little bit of whatever water you put the coffee into, and that helps to smooth out the flavor a little bit of the coffee. We also added in some green tea, which, you know, has a little bit of a support for maintaining the freshness of the coffee. We didn't put a crazy amount in there that would change the flavor of it, but it's there to maintain a little bit of the freshness. And then we added in some MCTs from coconut, and I think that adds just like a hint of nuttiness that you get into the coffee. I love our Isagenix coffee for that reason. I think everybody should try it. But I think one of the biggest benefits, though, is that because it tastes really good, you don't really need to add anything to it. You don't need to pour in sugar. You don't need to pour in any kind of creamers. And I think if you can learn to enjoy coffee just for its own flavor, then you can get used to drinking 3-4 cups a day and not let that be one of the biggest drawbacks of your health, you know, or one of the biggest detriments of your health, from, you know, because if you think about people who have 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day, they're pouring creamers and sugars in there. And after a while, that could be that those calories add up, and those and those trans fats do a world of harm. So I think that if we can encourage people to avoid going to the closest coffee shop and getting a lot something filled with cream and fat and sugar, then that's a good thing. Just learn how to drink coffee on its own. And if you do need to have some kind of a creamer, we recommend trying one of our like a scoop of Isopro. That could be a good way of getting a little bit more protein. So you know, we have those options available for you. But you know, I have coffee every day, and I just enjoy the flavor of ours. And I'll usually have it in the morning, and then later I'll have an E plus.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And listen, if you have not tasted the coffee, David is so right as far as not needing anything in it. Typically, that's why people doctor their coffee up, is because of the bitterness or whatever. But that our coffee is almost kind of has a, it's so smooth. It has almost a sweetness to it. If you're a coffee connoisseur, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. I am so happy that you were on today, just kind of myth busting, sharing a little bit about caffeine, what it is, the effects that it has on the body, the benefits it has for us, and the fact that we have a few products that we can safely consume caffeine on a daily basis and yet have other health benefits kind of, you know, flow into the body with it. So it's fabulous. And anything else before we let you go today, David?
No, I think I'm going to have a an E plus in just a moment here and head to the gym.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you and thank you for taking time out, sharing all that you did. We very much appreciate you. And for those of you listening in, we appreciate your time and your energy, your devotion to your health, your well-being. Of course, for those that are building a business out there, for your dedication and getting this information in their hands too. There's so many other podcasts besides this one. So go to isogenicspodcast.com. Go check it out. You can subscribe to the programs for free and listen to these on the go. As many of you, that's how you're hearing this one. So until next time, everybody, best of health. Take care. Bye-bye.